Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Free Talk Live. As always, you're invited to join us. 603-283-6160. That's the call in line if you want to share your thoughts and your opinions. 603-283-6160. And with you tonight, it's Aria,
Nikki,
and Lori.
And for two nights in a row, we've called the show Operation Kitten Rescue or something to that effect, because I wanted to get into it last night, but we ended up talking about Michael Hampton's death. So that was a bit more important, and then we got into other topics, as we tend to do here. So I want to start tonight by explaining this, because it's both one of the most horrific and one of the most heartwarming things that I've had happen this year. So I don't remember what day it was, but a friend of mine lives in Ohio, and she works at this at a food place, and she went outside to take a smoke break, and she discovered two little, barely six-week-old kittens in the dumpster.
Who does that? I can't even fathom being able to just abandon kittens in a dumpster.
I can't either. I mean, they're already litter trained. They were adorable, and they were clearly just thrown into the dumpster, like not even set in there, gently just thrown in, because one of them had a cut across her face. It's absolutely horrifying what human beings can do. And I learned about this immediately after the show, I think Monday night. And, you know, I was in a good mood right up until I learned about that. But she took the kittens in for the night, and she turned them over to her aunt, because the animal shelter there can't take them in until Thursday. So I asked, I was like, well, do you have any shelters that won't separate these two cats, because they're all each other has now, and they're terrified, and they're leaning on each other to, you know, maintain some sort of sense of normalcy. It turns out they didn't. So I started looking around for anyone who wanted two kittens. Did not take me long at all. Like, within 5 minutes, I had both Angie Gordon, who often does the show here, willing to take them in, and someone else who responded first that was willing to take them in. The only problem is, they're in Ohio, and this person is in New Hampshire. Well, Vermont, really, but I'm bringing them to New Hampshire. And I had already put my foot in my mouth at this point, saying, I'm going to try to find someone to take these kittens in, and if I do, I'm going to go to Ohio and get them and bring them back so that this friend can take them in. It turned out to be even better than that, as other people volunteered to take parts of the drive. Like, one person is going to pick them up in Ohio and bring them. Right now, the plan is to meet in Erie, Pennsylvania, and turn them over to me there so that each of us only has to drive, like, 400 miles and then 400 back instead of 800 there and 800 back. So
that's still far, and it's really awesome that you found somebody to meet you halfway.
It is.
It's really heartwarming.
I was hoping to get another person in there to meet, you know, a third of the distance and just cut it down even more, but that didn't happen, and now it's kind of too late to try to work in any of that. Plus, the logistic planning of that would have been a nightmare. Like, okay, it's going to take this person 5 hours to get here, and then 5 hours, so what time do I need to leave? It would have been a little more complicated than what I was willing to do, but it ultimately turned out well, and I hope the loser who threw two kittens in the trash can realizes that a lot of people are going through a lot of trouble to make this situation right for these two kittens.
Why would you throw them in the trash instead of just putting them on the ground or something? Like, that doesn't even, that's just cruel.
The death that would have awaited these kittens would have been horrifying. They would have been crushed to death, screaming in agony the entire time. Luckily, that obviously didn't happen. It's not going to happen. In fact, they're going to have a very happy ending in a loving home with a lot of other animals already there.
Aw, yay.
So, yeah, I'm happy about it. I'm not happy that someone, you know, threw kittens away. But all of this could have been avoided if the person just had their female cat fixed.
Yeah, that's true.
None of this would have happened. And how can you be so reckless that you would not have your cat fixed and you would let her out to get pregnant or whatever? And then on top of that, you're so immoral that you would just abandon these two adorable kittens. I can't imagine how someone can abandon an adorable kitten anyway. I see these things and I immediately like, yep, I'm going to drive to Ohio and get them and make sure they have a good home. Other people like, yes, I'm going to sentence these creatures to death.
Right. Yeah, it's not even abandonment at that point. It's like a death sentence by throwing them in a dumpster, but you can't even do it yourself. You have to be a coward on top of it and throw them in a dumpster for, you know, for a long, drawn-out death.
I definitely heard of worse things when I lived in the South. Like, people would have barn cats and things like that, and they would have too many, so they would take them and put them in a bag and dump them in a river. I've heard of worse things than abandoning them in a dumpster, but that doesn't make abandoning them in a dumpster really any better.
It's still pretty bad.
And how you mentioned about getting the cat spayed or neutered, it is so easy to get a cat spayed nowadays. There's clinics that do it for literally free.
There are. Even in Mississippi, there are clinics that do it for free. The Humane Society here in Keene, I think they charge $25 for a cat.
Yeah.
But even then, it's not the most expensive procedure in the world. And if you're going to get an animal, you should at least have the decency to understand that, you know, you need to be responsible for that animal who doesn't really have anything beyond evolutionary drive to procreate. You know, that's your responsibility as the caretaker of this animal to make sure it's taken care of. And because this person failed to do that, two kittens got abandoned in a dumpster. But it's going to have a happy ending, so all is well, realistically. Speaking of people, everything having a happy ending, that's not the case for a lot of trans people. And I have this story here. I've had it for a while, but I never actually got into it because that just wasn't the most important thing to talk about. A trans doctor is warning against puberty blockers, saying that the medical community zigged too far left. And what she's referring to there is, you know, how society sort of swings back and forth, zigzags like a pendulum. She's saying it's, you know, swung too far left. And there's two of these. Two trans-identified healthcare professionals. I don't know if that means they're actually trans or not.
That's what it sounds like to me.
They're raising concerns about the rush to affirm children suffering from gender dysphoria and the long-term consequences of puberty blockers. In an exclusive interview with the Wall Street Journal contributor, someone, Dr. Marcy Bowers and clinical psychologist Erica Anderson cast doubt on the effectiveness of puberty blockers and lamented the demands for conformity within the medical community regarding the transgender debate. I actually don't think there's any benefit in puberty blockers. Maybe for a year or two while a child is making up their mind, but they tell the story later about this 17-year-old who had been on puberty blockers for like 6 years or so. And when this teen went to have sexual reassignment surgery, or what they're calling gender affirmation surgery now,
oh gosh,
there wasn't enough material to work with to even make that possible. I'm under the impression, I mean, a person is going to go through puberty one way or the other, right?
Yeah.
They're either going to regret going through puberty one way, or they're not going to regret it. It's just as likely for a cis person to go through puberty and regret it and then want to transition to the other gender as it is for a trans person to transition and then go through puberty as their chosen sex and then regret it.
So I was under the impression that the big purpose of puberty blockers for children was so that they didn't develop the features of the opposite sex, so then it would be easier for them to transition as an adult and, so to speak, pass better.
That does seem to be most of the point, but why delay it at all? Instead of blocking the puberty, just give them the hormones that they need to transition as the sex they choose.
So I thought that it would be them like a combination of the things. So not only the puberty blockers, but you would also be needing to take some form of hormones, right? So either testosterone or estrogen and progesterone if you're, you know, transitioning into a woman.
Well, and some sort of... That's what I would assume they would do. And maybe puberty blockers for a year or so if a teen needs to make up their mind or whatever. But after that, put them on spironolactone and estradiol or whatever and let them go through puberty as they choose rather than how their body initially wanted them to. So I don't understand the need to even have puberty blockers for that long in the first place, but it's evidently pretty common. Both Bowers and Anderson are trans-identified men. Now, this is coming from the Christian Post, which I found on Drudge Report. So it's obviously hard right. I've never heard of anyone else saying trans-identified men who go by female names. Okay, so they are trans, and it's saying that they're men who go by female names.
So they're females.
I already love this article. Yes.
Right.
And they belong to the World Professional Association for Transgender Health. Bowers, a surgeon who performs gender reassignment surgeries and has been tapped to lead WPATH, which is the World Professional Association for Transgender Health, beginning next year, told Schreier that we zig and then we zag, and I think maybe we zigged a little too far to the left in some cases. The doctor alleged that within WPATH, there are definitely people who are trying to keep out anyone who doesn't absolutely buy the party line, that everything should be affirming, and that there's no room for dissent. I definitely don't think everything should be affirming, because being trans or being non-binary, these things are kind of the flavor of the month right now. And there's a lot of people who are doing it simply because they want to feel like they're special. But what are your thoughts on puberty blockers for kids? 603-283-6160. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, where you're welcome to call in, talk about whatever's important to you. 603-283-6160. 603-283-6160 is the call in line. 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria,
Nikki,
and Lori.
And we're discussing trans issues here tonight, which is actually a subject that I tend to avoid because, despite being trans, it's not an issue that really has much impact on my day-to-day life. And I know a lot of people don't get that, but a lot of people who are trans, it's like the main focal point of their identity. They couldn't imagine doing a talk show for 3 hours without just regularly talking about it. I hate talking about it. I just want to exist and do my thing and not call a bunch of attention to it. To being trans, I mean. I want to call attention to the other stuff, like the running for mayor and stuff like that. Which, by the way, for those curious, I was eliminated in the primary. Only got about 4% of the vote versus Zukowski's 6%. It was a landslide for Hansel. But that's the key in establishment for you. Fewer than 1,000 people even voted. For some perspective on that, 4,000 people voted in the primary. More than 4,000 Republicans voted in the primary last year. So, like an eighth of the turnout. I imagine most of the people who voted for me were either libertarians or were people who are hard left. I don't know because there was no polling. But I did get eliminated, which is fine. In good news, I learned that this cost the city of Keene between $12,000 and $20,000.
What does?
The primary.
Oh, my gosh.
And the best part about that is that there would not have been a primary yesterday if I had not run for mayor. So I single-handedly cost the city of Keene $12,000 yesterday.
I love that.
Completely by accident. All the more reason to run for mayor, as far as I can tell. If you can force them to waste money on stupid nonsense like that, by all means, do it, man. They've got the money to waste, and they're going to waste it on something. Why not have fun doing it?
And if that doesn't prove how flawed this system is, I don't know what does.
Well, there are city councilors who want to do away with that nonsense because evidently if you have more than 3 candidates for mayor, you have to have a primary and the top 2 candidates go on to the election, which seems silly to me, but whatever. I mean, why even have the election at this point? Hansel beat Zukowski 10-1.
I know.
So it's stupid to have the actual election. Just count the primary as the election for mayor and be done with it.
But then they can't waste more money.
They can't, no. But I'm also forcing them to waste money in November because they gave me a parking ticket, and I requested a court date. And to my surprise, they actually gave me one. I figured they would just drop it because, they know who I am. I was standing there with a camcorder. That sets off all of their alarm bells. Oh, this is a free Keene person. We don't want anything to do with it. But no, to my surprise, they actually gave me a court date. And they actually wrote the amount of the fine on the summons that they gave me. It's $10.
Oh, my Lord.
Wow. The parking ticket fine is $10 freaking. And they're giving me a trial for this. How much money are they going to spend on this trial to extract $10 out of me if they can even prove that I'm guilty?
That's ridiculous.
I still like the idea of, like, rolling out, like, a carpet for you and, like, having you arrive as the queen. Because as far as I'm concerned, we've elected you queen of Keene.
Well, I don't need to be elected. I declared myself queen.
Exactly,
so
yes.
That's good enough for me.
Flower bearers.
So that's going to be in November, and I'm looking forward to that. Because no matter what happens, it's a waste of money for the city of Keene to do it. And even if they convict me and I pay them that $10, it's a net loss for them. And yeah. I'm just going to keep making them do it. So.
And it's important to remind them how silly that this all is.
I don't think that, I mean, the officer who gave me the summons understood how silly it was as he handed it to me. He goes, okay, it says here the penalty is $10. Oh, okay. Well, here's your court date. I could tell that he didn't want to have anything to do with it and that he wanted them to just throw it out because...
As they should.
Right, because it's not worth it to them.
So it probably costs more for you to fight it, right? Because you have to pay... I don't know if that works the same way in New Hampshire as it does in Mass.
What do you mean?
You have to pay for... Because every time I've had a parking ticket or a speeding ticket, I would have to pay to have the hearing.
I don't think that's the case here in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, in Massachusetts it's either $30 or $50 to pay for your hearing.
I don't think that's the case in New Hampshire.
Huh.
But it may be.
Yeah, because if you even file for the hearing, you have to pay them.
Okay, well, I didn't have to file, so presumably that's not going to be the case here. But even if it was $50 or whatever and I had to pay for it, it's still not going to be worth it to them. That barely pays for the bailiffs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Not the clerks and all of the other people whose time I'm wasting. So all of that's going on. But we do have this trans story here because I found it worth talking about, because I've been talking about this particular subject off and on for years, that psychologists don't really seem to be doing a whole lot to help people with gender identity disorder. They're just, you know, helping them transition, and that's it. And that's not going to necessarily be the right fit for everyone, but there's all sorts of pressure in the psychological and medical community to just go along with it and just give them what they want. And I say this because I know a lot of trans people who begin taking hormones because they say something like, I want to feel like a woman or whatever, not recognizing that they have no perspective to understand what it feels like to feel like a woman or like a man. All they know is what it feels like to be them, and how it feels to be them is never, ever going to change.
Right.
Hormones aren't going to fix that. Neither is gender reassignment surgery.
Right. Women don't, you know, like, there's no, I feel like a woman. Nikki feels different than I feel.
Yes.
You feel different than Nikki feels. Like, everybody feels different. We're all individuals. That's not really a thing.
No, and we have absolutely no way of stepping outside of our bodies to see what it does feel like. You know, if I could compare how it feels like to be me to how it feels like to be you, that would tell me just the difference between you and I, how it feels to be different. But it wouldn't tell me anything about what it felt like to be a cis woman.
Right.
Because that's not 100% of who you are.
Right.
Yeah. But instead of going through this difficult process with psychologists, with their patients, psychologists are just, oh, yes, we're going to get you on these hormones, and then everything will be fine. And, of course, the person still doesn't feel like a woman because they're never going to. They're chasing after an impossible goal that, by definition, they can't achieve. So Bowers has come to believe that the risk of puberty blockers outweigh the benefits. I'm still not sure what the benefits could be. But she says, believe me, we're doing some magnificent surgery on these kids, and they're so determined, and I'm so proud of many of them and their parents. They've been great, but honestly, I can't sit here and tell you that they have better or even as good results. And I presume they left out the context there, but she's talking about people who were on puberty blockers versus people who just started transitioning. That's my guess. They're not as functional, Bowers added. I worry about their reproductive rights later. I worry about their sexual health later and ability to find intimacy. Sharia reported that the U.S. began to adopt affirmation of trans children with puberty blockers as the standard operating procedure by embracing the Dutch protocol. I don't know enough about the issue to know why they're even using puberty blockers in the first place instead of just giving them the hormones that they want. There must be something here that they're neglecting to inform us about.
I think that, like I said on break, I think a lot of that is probably parents who are like, just wait until you're sure. Just wait until you're sure. Hold off, you know, because they don't want to accept that their child is an individual.
It could very well be that. I don't know why, but it's based on research conducted in the Netherlands that portrays puberty blockers in a favorable light. There's more about this coming up, and you can weigh in with your thoughts about it. 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. Senate Democrats are planning to accept a short-term debt limit increase offer from Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. McConnell will let Democrats raise the debt ceiling into December without filibustering the bill, kicking the can on the fight over the debt. New COVID cases and hospitalizations are trending downward.
The seven-day average of hospital admissions is about 7,400 per day, a decrease of about 14% from last week.
CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky saying the rate of deaths is remaining steady at about 1,400 per day. White House COVID-19 Coordinator Jeff Zients also talks about the 4 million Americans who have received Pfizer booster shots.
Our booster program is not only up and running, but it's also accelerating. And we're building on our strong start to get millions of eligible Americans their booster shot.
USA Radio News. The Department of Justice is out with fresh warnings that counterfeit pills which look normal are likely deadly with opioid fentanyl. In the past 2 months, the DEA has seized nearly 2 million fentanyl-laced pills across the United States. The United States is releasing a report on its nukes.
For the first time since 2018, the U.S. is revealing the size of the nation's nuclear stockpile, at least as of September of 2020. The National Nuclear Security Association says in a report that as of then, the nation had 3,750 warheads, the agency adding that number was nearly a 90% reduction in the stockpile's peak from over 31,000 in fiscal year 1967. When the feds last disclosed the number in the stockpile, the country had more than 3,800 in 2017. Reporting from the New England Bureau of USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
This is USA Radio News.
We know that the 1% globalist elites have hijacked and subverted the U.S. economy, culture, and government. The battle to take America back begins with Scott McKay, the Patriot Street Fighter, and his Advancing the Fork in Line tour. Now here's Scott.
Hi, this is Scott McKay, better known as Patriot Street Fighter, the high-octane, full-throttle truth hammer, and I'm bringing the Advancing the Fork in Line tour to a city near you. I and a host of other speakers will be on stage with an arsenal of issues from health rights, human rights, and the freedom given to us by the founding fathers who drafted the Constitution for the United States of America. This is a ticketed event, and you can get tickets at PatriotStreetFighter.com. I'm looking forward to personally seeing many of you there.
The Patriot Street Fighter Advancing the Fork in Line tour tickets can be purchased at PatriotStreetFighter.com. For tour dates and information, or to purchase your tickets, go to PatriotStreetFighter.com. That's PatriotStreetFighter.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Where you can call in, take control of the airwaves, and talk about whatever is important to you. 603-283-6160, that's the call-in line. 603-283-6160. And I want to tell you about Bitcoin.com, because as I understand it, not having heard the prices today, but yesterday it was on a tear, and that's probably still true today. Mm-hmm. It's really past time to learn about this important world-changing technology, because Bitcoin is shaping up to change the world. It's already changed the world, and it's only going to continue doing that. So head on over to Bitcoin.com. Click Getting Started at the top of the page. There's some videos there that you can watch that'll teach you the basics. But if you already know the basics, Bitcoin.com still has something for you at news.bitcoin.com, where you can stay up to date on all of the news and headlines that are relevant to you and cryptocurrency. That's news.bitcoin.com, all on a sleek, easy-to-use modern website, Bitcoin.com. Now, it's unclear to me what exactly they're doing and with in the trans medical world at all. According to this doctor, the thinking behind the protocol was, why make a child who has suffered with gender dysphoria since preschool endure puberty with all of its discomforts and embarrassments if that child were likely to transition as a young adult? I don't understand that thinking at all. Why not just give them the hormones needed to go through puberty and transition as a teenager? That, to me, would be the sensible approach. Why put it off until they're 18 years old? Is there some sort of legal reason that they're doing that?
I don't think so, because according to this Google search, the youngest person to have a gender reassignment surgery was 14. So if you can have a legitimate surgery that changes your genitals, I would think that you'd be able to take hormones. Maybe yeah. State by state it's different. I don't really know enough about it.
I would like to think they were saying, why make a child who has suffered with gender dysphoria since preschool endure the puberty of their birth sex?
Which makes sense.
Yeah, but that's not what they're saying. They're delaying puberty at all, and I don't understand why. That seems like that seems stupid, it seems illogical, and it seems like bad medical practice.
It does. They should just give them the hormones of their chosen gender. And let them go through puberty as a woman or a male, whatever they want.
Yeah, and if they regret it, okay, well, they could have regretted it the other way as well. No one has any way of knowing. Let them make the choices that they believe are going to make them happy. Schreer wrote that when a U.S. hospital first began relying on the Dutch protocol, researchers believed that the blocker's effects were reversible. Why would they believe that? You can't reverse the effects of a 10-year-old becoming 17 years old without ever going through any puberty whatsoever.
Right.
That's obviously irreversible. When asked if puberty blockers were reversible, Bowers responded by saying, I'm not sure, adding, I'm not a fan. The doctor also explained that the common use of tissue from the stomach and bowel... Oh, I don't even want to finish that paragraph. It's gross. Both Bowers and Anderson weighed in on the phenomenon of rapid-onset gender dysphoria, which refers to the rise in the number of biological females seeking to change their gender, or biological males seeking to change their gender, or seeking to become non-binary. I've seen this. I watched this kid, I think he's 22 years old, maybe. He went from totally normal, well, no, he wasn't totally normal, but totally content, never having mentioned anything about this, to... I'm non-binary, this is my new chosen name, and I've never felt happier in my own skin in the span of like 4 days. And now this person's entire identity is being built around the fact that they're non-binary.
And that's becoming increasingly more common.
It is, and I don't know why it's happening, other than the fact that, you know, it's the popular thing to do these days. A survey of 70,000 American college students conducted by the American College Health Association revealed that the share of biological female students who identified as transgender rose from 1 in 2000 in 2008 to 1 in 20 in 2021. At the same time, the number of gender clinics in the U.S. has grown from 1 in 2007 to hundreds today. Now, a lot of this is the fact that, you know, for a long time, being transgender just wasn't acceptable. Just like in the past, being left-handed wasn't acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Once we stopped forcing left-handed people to write with their right hands, we discovered, oh, being left-handed is actually like 10% of the population. Who would have imagined? And the same thing is happening here with trans people who previously could not have just been trans. But some of these are also people who are, they're honestly just jumping on the bandwagon. I say this as a trans person. Schreer wrote a book about the phenomenon titled Irreversible Damage, The Transgender Craze Seducing Our Daughters, and other researchers attribute the rise in rapid-onset gender dysphoria to peer pressure stemming from the prevalence of trans influencers on social media. And it's surprising, but I don't know any trans female-to-male people. I know of one here in Keene, but I don't personally know them, and that's the only one, but I know many male-to-female trans people.
I also think that sometimes female to male trans people can pass a little bit better. So
it's
sometimes we don't know. And if somebody doesn't make it their like entire identity, you would literally have no clue.
That's a good point. I imagine it easier. They don't have to deal with, you know, the broad shoulders or
yeah.
the deep voice or any of that nonsense. So it may be easier. Bowers agreed. I think there are probably people who are influenced. There's a little bit of, yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, I kind of want to do that, too. And I know that wasn't the case for me. A lot of people are like, oh, the television convinced you to do this. But like in my case, I was like 3 years old. So, no, I don't think television back then, I don't think would have. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anderson predicted that we're going to have more young adults who will regret having gone through this process as a result of medical professionals rushing people through the medicalization, as well as failing to evaluate the mental health of someone historically in current time, and to prepare them for making such a life-changing decision. I see, that's the argument that I don't get. Because puberty is life-changing, and it's going to happen whether they go through puberty as male or female. So there's a possibility of regret no matter what happens, and there's a possibility of being happy no matter what happens. I think a person is best suited to just take whichever path they think is going to work best for them. But obviously the medical establishment isn't doing that. If you go in and you say, hey, I want to transition to female, they're, for whatever reason, prescribing you puberty blockers until you're older. It's very strange. When you have a female-assigned person and she's feeling dysphoric, or somebody decides that she's dysphoric and says your eating disorders are not really eating disorders, this is actually gender dysphoria, and then they see you for one visit and they recommend testosterone, red flag. That's definitely a red flag.
Does that happen?
I don't know.
I've never heard of that happening, yeah, but who knows?
That sounds like scaremongering.
It does, but that's from an actual trans doctor who specializes in trans medicine, so presumably she's actually heard of stuff like that happening.
Wow.
But I can't imagine how common that is, man. Maybe it is today because doctors aren't really willing to question it, but it seems to me that in order to be diagnosed with gender dysphoria, you would have to, you know, express that to the doctor or to the therapist, not have them just say, oh no, you're suffering from gender dysphoria.
I would think it would go the other way more so, where maybe children would be like, no, this is the gender I identify as and I want to transition as this gender, and doctors might be a little reluctant to prescribe them hormones.
Mm-hmm. But it seems in reality that they're actually pushing it, encouraging it, whether that's actually the case or not. So that's alarming.
Are they made by Pfizer?
I don't know. Not right. But I remember Arvind Vora, who was the previous vice chair of the Libertarian Party in, I think, 2018, sometime around there. I was a big fan of him, but he got in a lot of trouble for pointing out that Big Pharma has every reason to push being trans onto the youth.
Oh, yeah.
It turns people into lifelong pharmaceutical customers.
That's right.
I will be buying estrogen and progesterone for the rest of my life. Well, not really, but you know, for 40 years. And that's a lot of money for them.
Mm-hmm.
And the more people they get doing that, the more money they have coming in. So it's, you definitely have to watch out for these kinds of things. And I'm aware of it, but he got a lot of criticism for it because, oh no, you can't say things like that out loud. But it's true. We know Big Pharma is evil, and we know they want more customers. So they have every reason to push this onto people to get them into paying customers. That's it for this story, but when we come back, we're going to talk about air travel and vaccines and exactly how some airlines are coping with this. Delta, Southwest, and American have all said they're not going to require them. What are your thoughts? Should they be required to travel? It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
What better gift to give your loved ones than the gift of good health? And where better to buy those good health gifts than sunny-bay.com? Hey, it's great that you're hearing this message now, because buying your holiday gifts from Sunny Bay early will save you money. And that's just one reason why Sunny Bay is in business and has been for over 15 years, helping you with fashionable and useful products for better health. See our unique and quality-made travel pillows, or our unique neck and body wraps that help immediate pain relief and deep muscle relaxation. Come at a wide variety of uses, apply hot or cold therapy, and are all made in the USA. See our great selection, affordable prices, and wonderful health products at sunny-bay.com. And remember, order early when our stock is high and shipping is fast. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Blue Star Medicated Ointment gets 5-star reviews from our loyal users for fast relief of the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
Blue Star soothes insect bites and fungal infections.
It really works on the summer rashes I get every year.
I had psoriasis on my elbows. Blue Star worked wonders.
Amazing stuff. Smear a bit on and the itch is gone.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast or your money back.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. 603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in. That's 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria,
Nikki, and Lori.
And Nikki, you have an article about air travel and vaccines and how all of this could actually make more people die if airlines mandate vaccines.
And I have a feeling that it will. Because we saw the same exact thing right after 9/11, where a large amount of people were afraid to fly, so everybody was driving places instead, and you're actually a lot more likely to get into a car accident than you are to have an airplane crash.
I mean, just on the obvious numbers alone, an airplane crash is typically, like, you can fly almost anywhere in the U.S. in like 5 hours.
Yeah.
Versus driving across the entire United States, which is going to take significantly longer. Like, I honestly considered hitting up a friend and be like, hey, look, can you fly me to Ohio? Because it would be like an hour and a half flight if you did this versus a 8-hour drive, maybe a 2-hour flight, but it would be so much shorter. I can't imagine why people would choose to drive instead of flying. I'm doing this here because it's just not worth it, but obviously driving for 800 miles is significantly more dangerous than flying that same distance.
I hate flying. Well, a vaccine mandate might be a good reason to make people stop flying.
Because the airlines aren't suffering enough.
I know. So TSA security screenings led to more driving and thus more auto deaths. Mandating vaccines on airplanes could have a similar effect. Most major airlines already require their employees to be vaccinated. Support is now mounting for a government vaccine mandate for airline passengers as well. But could this public health intervention end up costing more lives than it saves? Last week, Senator Dianne Feinstein...
Well, I'm not sure. I would say by definition, yes, because I'm not sure that mandating that airlines require vaccines would save even a single life.
It wouldn't. And as we're seeing, the vaccines are having, even aside from this causing more people to drive and having automobile accidents and deaths,
we're seeing horrific side effects from the vaccines alone. So there are just so many pieces to this puzzle that could really be detrimental.
And yeah, they don't do anything.
No, the fourth, allegedly...
Okay, you can still spread COVID, so it's like, what's the point?
Right.
Allegedly, the fourth woman has died from the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, but it's probably significantly higher than that, because a lot of these people are just being written down as blood clots instead of, you know, blood clots caused by the vaccination.
Well, that's not counting all the injuries, too, not just deaths, but, like, vaccine injuries.
So last week, Senator Dianne Feinstein, a Democrat from California, introduced the U.S. Air Public Safety Act. The bill would require that all passengers on flights leaving from or landing at U.S. airports to show proof of vaccination, a negative COVID-19 test, or proof of a previous infection before boarding. So you can have natural immunity.
But how do you prove that?
All right. I mean, I got a test, so I could prove it. Technically, I guess, but
I didn't get tested because I knew I had COVID-19.
Yeah,
and so like in the very beginning, it was impossible to get tested.
I didn't have it at the very beginning, though. I didn't have it until like March of this year, so I could have gotten tested, but there was no point. I lost my sense of smell and taste entirely. It was obviously COVID-19.
And honestly, I would have had no clue that I even had it if I didn't get tested. I actually took a second test because I didn't believe it. And then I failed the second one, and I'm like, okay, I guess I do have COVID. And then the next day, I lost my sense of smell and taste. But I only lost it for a day. And let me tell you, I know you know, Aria, because it's freaky.
It is,
It is
man.
A freaky thing. It sucks.
I remember joking previously that local burger here in Keene, if you have COVID-19, just go there because it will completely restore your sense of taste because you'll be burping it up all night because that's the local burple, right? That's what they're famous for. They are really good, though, but you will taste it all night long. So I actually tried that. I was like, let's put this theory to the test because it did not work. Could not taste any of it, man. It's so bizarre.
Yeah, I tried everything. I read on the internet that if you eat an onion... So I didn't go for the onion, but I did eat some garlic. Ginger. And I could feel the burning in my mouth. Like, I could feel that, like, spice from it, but I couldn't taste it.
You couldn't taste anything?
I couldn't taste anything.
It's total.
And that'd be great. I'd eat so healthy all the time.
I carry on eating as normal, always hoping that my sense of taste and smell would come back. I couldn't taste hot things, though. I mean, I couldn't experience the sensation of something that was spicy.
But could you feel it?
No.
Oh, that happened
really?
To me when I was pregnant.
Yeah. That's weird.
I had no spice sensors.
And I hate that I didn't do it, but I wanted to record videos of me just like drinking bottles of hot sauce because I couldn't taste it, one, and I couldn't feel the heat, too. So it would have been great. But I never got around to it because it just wasn't that important to me.
It's weird that you couldn't feel the heat. I wonder if there was some kind of neurological damage, because that would be your nerves.
Yeah, because that's weird, because I totally could, because I remember I noticed it because I was brushing my teeth, and I couldn't taste it, but I could feel the peppermint, and that was, like, the strangest sensation I've ever had in my life. It was so, so weird.
Eating something and not tasting any of it is, it's super weird. I would recommend it if someone could experience it for, like, a day.
Yeah.
But not for, like, 7 weeks, which is...
And that's, like, the best part about eating.
Yeah.
Like, why would I even bother?
Right? A lot of people do lose weight from COVID-19 because, you know, if they don't taste it, they don't eat. Yeah. I just kept to my regular schedule, eating my regular things, and eventually was able to taste again. But it was a weird experience.
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend it. But anyways, moving on with the article. We know that air travel during the 2020 holiday season contributed to last winter's devastating COVID-19 surge. We simply cannot allow that to happen again, said Feinstein in a press release.
I thought the worst surge so far was the one that was in, like, August or September or something, right? Wasn't it there a more recent surge that was worse?
I feel like they say every week, the worst is yet to come. The worst is yet to come.
So if we're... Like, technically speaking, in reality, no, that didn't happen, but I'm sure, like, CNN was saying that.
Right.
Because I know, like, what I experienced working in the hospitals, I would say that, like, the winter surge was worse. Like, we basically had nothing happening in the summer.
Well, yeah, everybody's outside.
Yeah, I think we had a span of 5 months where we didn't even have a single COVID patient.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's good. Ensuring that air travelers protect themselves and their destination's communities from disease is critical to prevent the next surge. Members of the Biden administration have also endorsed the idea. Yeah, of course. I would support that if you want to get on a plane and travel with other people, that you should be vaccinated, said Anthony Fauci, President Joe Biden's chief medical advisor, last month. White House COVID response team coordinator Jeff Zients said that the administration hasn't ruled out a vaccine mandate for air travelers.
Now, what would this mean? Like, if I wanted to hop on a friend's plane here at the airport in Keene, would that qualify? Because they have weird limitations.
Yeah.
I don't have to go through TSA if I do that.
Like a private plane?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But would he be like, oh, no, you have to prove that you're vaccinated or whatever?
I mean, how would they know? I guess you
right.
land in an airport, but normally
yeah, but you land
no
in a small
TSA.
Airport.
Yeah, there's no TSA.
I mean, we could land in, like, Bradley International, but they get kind of upset when like, four-seaters do that.
Right.
They can't stop you, though, but they don't like it.
So the carve-outs that Feinstein's bill makes for those with negative COVID tests and prior infections makes it more flexible than the vaccine mandates that governments are imposing for bars, restaurants, and concert venues. Yet the proposed law would leave in place that the Transportation Security Administration's TSA requirements that passengers be masked throughout their flights.
So, that's already a requirement.
Yeah, so I guess what it means is that you still would have to keep a mask on. But that's how a lot of places are still. Like,
so are they saying with the vaccine passport you won't have to wear a mask?
No, you will, I think.
Still. So either yeah. way, you have to wear a mask and nothing changes.
Except you have to also prove that you're vaccinated.
Oh, or you just
have
won't
COVID.
They just won't let you on the plane if you're not vaccinated.
They probably won't let you through TSA.
Or you would have to get the negative COVID test.
Which is at least easier.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and it's also better because that way you know you don't have COVID-19 versus people who are vaccinated who can easily have COVID-19 and can spread COVID-19. And they just get a free pass to do that because they're the special kid who got the correct wristband that allows them to do that.
And that's a big thing that's being overlooked.
It is. That's why I was looking forward to seeing Louder Than Life, the festival I was at a few weeks ago, become this huge super spreader event. But even if it did, the media wouldn't talk about it because they did everything right.
Yep.
You know, they required you to be vaccinated or to have a negative test or whatever. We got past this by just walking past that entire line, and no one ever called us on it throughout the entire festival.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, we looked and we saw this massive line of people just going back almost at half a mile, and we're like, yeah, we're just walking right past that. And we did, and no one ever said a word. But yeah, the people who tested negative for COVID-19 were certainly not spreading COVID-19 there, but the vaccinated people, they definitely could have been because they could still get and spread COVID-19. 603-283-6166.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.